Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Is so good. Yesterday was awesome, and last night, something interesting about praise and worship that, you know, is that I'll share a couple things with you that maybe will bless you. Vanderbilt University did a study on people who attend worship services and also a study on people that participate when they attend worship services. And those who attended and participated in worship services lived, they said, significantly longer and had less depression and less stress because endorphins were released and that. And I thought that that was very wonderful. But something else they said in their that they found in their study, that physical pain is relieved as you worship, participate in worship. Physical pain. And I know you've attended services where you walked out and said, I wasn't feeling good when I came in, but when I went, by the time worship was over, I had been blessed and I was able. You know, one of the other interesting things, and I think I said it recently, but I'm going to repeat myself, is that many people don't realize that Jesus sang. Jesus, our Lord, sang. At the Last Supper, before they went out, the Bible says they sang a hymn. I guarantee you Jesus did not say, I'm going to pass on the hymn singing here. He did not. And the Bible also says that in Zephaniah 3 and 16, he will rejoice over you with singing, that God will sing over you. There's so much more I could go on, but God is so good and he's so faithful and he's moving. I want to talk about that for a minute. I also want to share with you that I spoke to Crystal Taylor extensively last night. And she's wanting to reconnect with us in our fellowship. And she's going to come here, Frida, and dance for us. She is going to do her prophetic dance again here. And I told her that the Bible study had to move from my house to the church. And so she is going to come and dance. And for those of you who don't know, Crystal used to dance in my home prophetically on Monday night. And on Alan remembers, Frida remembers, Frida has the picture too. One night when Crystal was dancing and she was in front of my picture window with her arms out, two different people took pictures and you could see completely through her body out into the neighbor's house across the street, right through her garments, right through her body, as if she did not exist. And, you know, God really anoints people to do different things. And she is anointed to do a prophetic dance. We're going to have her here soon. God has just been speaking to me and doing things just so quickly, so fast, it seems like in these last days, and even in just, it seems like there's an overload of God speaking, like downloading stuff, you call it, into. And I really don't take this lightly, that God's been sharing words with me for people, and about the future, about who he's going to use and how he's going to do things. And it really does. Revival begins with repentance. And after repentance, that leads to renewal, restoration, revival, and eventually resurrection. And that means resurrection of the things in your life that you thought were once dead. You know, the things that the world calls dead, the Word calls alive. The world called Lazarus dead, Jesus said he was alive and come alive. And you know, one of the things I have a testimony I want to share. It is not my testimony, but it is a great, great testimony. Not long ago after, you know, Debbie had asked for the house, you know, she did not want a house. She wanted that house. And she made that very clear to me. And so we prayed for that house and got that house. And you all know that by now. But after that happened, several other people came and asked for prayer for pretty big things, because I've been challenging people not to ask small, but to ask God for big things, because otherwise you're put saying you're just kind of a small God. You're the God of, I hurt my toenail. You are not the God of cancer, and you are not the God of heart disease, and that's just a lie. He is. He's a big God. He still opens blinded eyes. He still makes the lame to walk. He still opens deaf ears. He is still the healer. Like and like Willie said, let's say it about God. It's not just what he does. It's who he is. He's the healer. It's not just that I heal. It's what he does. So when this happened to Debbie, someone came to me and asked if I would pray for them for blessings, different types of blessing. And this is a person who, by the way, is faithful to tithe. Because the blessings of God are not entitlement, and they are not automatic. We access them through obedience to God. So this woman, if she has $10, a dollar goes to God. It's even worse than that. If she has a dollar, 10 cents goes to God. And she's very specific about that. But here's the thing. We began to pray for her because she asked for prayer several weeks back. This is going back a ways. Prayed. And I remember the specific prayer because I had anointing oil in my hand. And we were praying with anointing oil, several of us. And I prayed that God would send to her supernatural blessings. Supernatural blessings. And on Saturday, I believe it was, I'm sure it was, that this person found in their bank account thousands and thousands of dollars that she did not deposit in her bank account. She did not earn. Someone else had earned, and that was in her bank account. Let me tell you something. He is a big God. He is a big God. And he honors faithfulness. If you are faithful to God in your season, God's got it on the calendar. I've always said God does not operate on a battery with a double A battery clock back there. He operates on an eternal clock. And God ain't going to run out of time. If you think your blessing's a little slow, he ain't going to run out of time. It's going to come to you just in time. So get ready for it. What you have to do, God is preparing you for the blessing. He's already got the blessing. He's got to prepare you and I to receive the blessing. And so we can access receiving the blessing through our obedience. And God is pouring out his spirit, and he's doing things in the land. He said by the prophet Joel that he would do that, and that is happening. That is absolutely happening. And I said it, and Sandra and I have been looking for our dates, but we want to do a couple of revival nights, and we're talking about September, early October, doing some revival nights here. So I'm going to be talking to some of our team and getting some things. I actually have some songs I'd love to hear, and I know Tony would probably love to play them, and Willie and everybody. So, you know, that's the good thing. You know, when you want something like that, you go to the people, they want the same thing. So tonight we're going to continue on with Holy Moses, chapter week 14. And last week we began our study of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Deca means measure of 10. This is review. Log means words. 10 words of God. So if anyone ever asks you, do you have a word for God, from God for me? You go, yes. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. I have a word. The 10 commandments, I said, are not outdated. God has not suddenly changed his mind about murdering our neighbors and committing adultery, honoring our parents, or putting him first. The Old Testament is still the word of God. And I want you to think about something for a moment. The Bible, when holy men of God wrote the Bible, these were men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down and inscribe the words of God, right? Am I right? They were scribes, and they wrote down. By the way, one of the most dangerous people, this is trivia history, Bible history, one of the most dangerous considered people in the Bible, what in a kingdom, was the scribe. The scribe. He knew all the laws. He knew everything. And if they came somewhere and they wanted to do some damage, the first thing person they wanted to kill was the scribe. So I'm going to go into that later, but not tonight. But think of that. Holy men of God wrote the Bible. But I want to remind you of something. Let me tell you how important the Ten Commandments are. In the case of the Ten Commandments that we have before us tonight, God did not trust that to a man and say, write this down. Get your stone, get your chisel. We're getting ready to write. God himself wrote the Ten Commandments down. He's like, we're going to get this right. I'm going to do this myself with my own hand, with my finger. I will write the Ten Commandments. And so we cannot be so foolish as to say, suddenly, they're just not necessary. God wrote them by his own hand. They are not obsolete. Exodus 31:18 says, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. I can picture God handing these to Moses saying, these are very important. I wrote them down for you. I don't want you to get one word of these wrong. So he's serious about the Ten Commandments, and we see that because in the Old Testament, I shared with you that if you work on the Sabbath, the punishment was harsh, that you were killed if you worked on the Sabbath, if you worked 7 days a week. Now, I think this is interesting. In our society, sometimes we see people that don't want to work. But that's not what we mostly see. I was sharing this with someone just yesterday in my office. That's not what we mostly see. What we mostly see is people who work 7 days a week all over and over and over again. And you might think, well, we don't stone them to death. But if you work 7 days a week over and over and over, you are going to die. You're going to wear your body out and you're going to die. So God knows what he's doing. He put honor the Sabbath because he knew that it would be harder for us to rest than to work. We're created to work. We like to work. We feel fulfilled. But it's harder for us to rest. So that's why God put the Sabbath in there. He did say, 6 days shalt thou work, but keep the Sabbath holy. God wasn't just on an ego trip when he wanted us to worship him. He is absolutely worthy of our worship. The other commandment we talked about was committing adultery, and I reminded you that still on the books in the state of Illinois, adultery is a misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor, punishable by $2,500 fine and 1 year in jail. However, in the Old Testament, you were killed if you committed adultery. Let me pull it over into today. If you should so decide, if you should be so inclined to think that you might take Frida for your wife, I can tell you that the Old Testament law may come into effect, and Tony may hurt you. You may get stoned. You may get shot with a bullet. So don't think that that can't happen. You know, when we do these things, and when we, here's the thing, when we come against God's law, we are transgressing the law of God and the love of God for ourselves and for others, and we cannot disobey the law of God. When we say something is illegal, even in our society, it really means to transgress God's law, against the law. Something illegal is against the law. What is the law? The law was originated by God himself. And we talked about stealing. So I want to make a case for not stealing. You don't have to steal to have your needs met. God takes care of you. If you steal, you don't trust God to provide for you. You don't trust God to take care of you. Something that I always think about when we talk about stealing is not stealing money. It is about David taking Bathsheba, because I understood from the Bible that he had many, many wives and many, many girlfriends, concubines, whatever. Yet he decided purposefully, intentionally to transgress his neighbor Uriah, who was away at war, and he should have been there too. And because the Bible specifically said when kings went to war, he stayed behind. Well, he was the king. He didn't go to war. He's in trouble. He's not where he's supposed to be. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. And so he was at home, and he decided to take his neighbor's wife. He was stealing her. And here's something that's so interesting that it actually touched my heart. In 2 Samuel 12, when Nathan came and telling David the story about the sheep and, you know, what he did, he said, "You're the man," said Nathan. "You're the man there, buddy. And here's what God, the God of Israel, has to say to you. I made you king over Israel. I freed you from the fist of Saul. I gave you your master's daughter and other wives to have and to hold. I gave you Israel and Judah." But here's what he said. "And if that had not been enough, I would gladly have given you more." Wow. God was telling David, you don't have to steal anything. Why didn't you ask me? And that is the case so many times. Years ago, I had someone close to me take money from our home, someone very close. And after I discovered that that had happened, I went to that person and confronted them and said, "Why did you do that? I've never one time turned you down. You could have just asked." And that's the lesson on stealing. if you find yourself in a place of lack, ask God. Ask God. And if you need to ask someone else too. But that we need to understand that we're not supposed to take things that are not our own. It transgresses God's law. To bear false witness against our neighbor is one of the most hurtful things that can ever happen. If you decide that you are going to say, I saw Frida do that, and you did not, and you purposely do that, that is transgressing God's law, and he will make sure that justice happens in that situation. One of the greatest hurts in my life was someone who put forth a rumor that I had had a romantic relationship while married with another pastor. You know, we don't do that. We don't say things. You might say, well, people won't believe that. Really? Then why did they say it? Because you're looking for, that is not fair. That is not right, because that person doesn't get the opportunity to defend themselves. If I go whisper and say, Frida did something to someone, did you know? She does not have the opportunity to address that in any way. It breaks your heart, and it destroys relationships, and it also destroys your relationship between God. Now, tonight we're going to talk about covet. The word is an unusual word, but here's what it means. I'm going to give you the definition. It means to have an inordinate, unordinary, that means, desire for things that do not belong to you. To lust after something that is not yours. This is interesting that God would have to say that. I have my things, you have your things. But on occasion, you will look at someone else and you will say, they have better things. They have some nicer things. I would like to have what they have. And it leads to lust, and it's an unordinary desire to have something that doesn't belong to you. But here's the problem with that. When that happens, if you don't put covetousness aside, not only will you desire what they have, you will seek to obtain what they have. She has the nice pen. I have this old blue Bic pen. She has a custom-made pen. It has diamonds on it. I want that pen. I want it, I want it, I want it. I think about it, I covet it, and then I decide maybe I'll give her the blue pen and I'll just take that one. You know what? That leads to stealing. We cannot do that, and especially when it comes to other things that are important. We should rejoice when other people have blessings. Because I can tell you, if you covet things that are not yours and you decide to take them, you're going to wind up in the newspaper. I actually have knowledge of someone who wanted things that did not belong to them. And they're facing a trial right now. And I love the person. But you know what? Sin will take you farther than you ever intended to go. Sin will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And sin will cost you more years, money, relationships than you ever intended to pay. And so it is for this reason that we should obey the covenant of God. Now, I wanted to get to this because this is where I really want to talk tonight. I want to talk to you about the next step that God said in Exodus 20. I want to talk to you just briefly about how God instructed the people in worship, because we love to worship here, to build altars to him. And this is important to us today. First question is, are we building altars? And the answer is, we should be. We should be. I've said this before. There are people who will come to me and say, pray for me. And I will say, I will pray for you, but my preference is to pray with you. Am I the only one going to be doing the praying here? If you come to me, if Debbie comes to me and says, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, time after, pray for this and pray for that and pray for this and pray for that, I come to the conclusion eventually that she's the one coming up with the problems, and I'm the one gets to pray for the problems and try to help. And so my thing is, if it's important enough for her to tell me to pray, we should be praying together in agreement. And I want to know, are you praying for you? The second thing I want to know when people tell me that they need prayer or they're praying is, I ask people what I call my secret, that's not a secret question now. I want to know where you pray. Where do you pray? What I'm asking is, have you created, have you made an altar to the Lord? I used to pray in my den downstairs. Now I actually pray in my car at the Target. I pray. That's my prayer spot. Police officer knows this after asking, am I okay? After pulling me and saying, are you okay? Sitting here, I've watched you. You've been sitting here forever. Looks like you've been crying. I'm like, yes, yes, that would be called worship. And I've got the worship music going. But there are places where we pray. I can remember my father praying upstairs in the yellow house that they had. You could go upstairs in the morning and he would be laying on the floor, prostrate, praying. Because you have an altar, that's called building an altar to the Lord. Now, where it gets interesting is what type of altar. So I'm going to read Exodus 20, 22 to 25. And the Lord said to Moses, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, you've seen that I have talked with you from heaven, which that's a funny topic because they were afraid when they heard God talk. You shall not make with me, for me, gold, gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shall you make to me. Picture yourself praying on the ground, and shalt sacrifice thereon, on the ground, thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thy oxen, and in all places, and I want you to catch this, in all places, and I'm going to explain it, where I record my name, and I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, so there's two things that you can use for an altar. You can use the earth, the ground. You can put yourself on the ground, or you can a rock, a stone. And I will come to you and I will bless you. But here's what he said. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up your tool on it, you polluted it. You polluted it. Why do you and I need to hear any of this? Why does this matter to us? I'm not sitting home melting gold over the stove trying to make an idol or an altar. Well, the first thing is God feels strongly about it, and he never wants you and I to be able to say, I didn't know, in case you should be so inclined to melt up some gold. But here's the revelation on this. Did you notice in this verse, he says, you shall not make me God, for me gods of silver, gold, nor shall you make for you gods of gold. So what does that mean? I'm going to paraphrase it. Don't make idols and say they're for me. Don't make idols in your life and say, I'm doing this for God. You know why I'm doing this? I'm doing this for God. And don't make them for yourself either. Don't make idols, period. And don't say they're for me, and don't make them for you. And sometimes we do things and we do say, this is for God, as if he wanted us to do that. But let me tell you what this really was a revelation to my heart by the Holy Spirit. What should we make instead of idols? It's right here, altars. If you make altars, you won't be given to having an affection, an inordinate affection for other things, whether that's other women, whether that's gold and silver, like money. When you're worshiping God and you've made an altar, that's the cure for the idol. And let me tell you something about an altar. If you bow your knee at an altar, it will alter, A-L-T-E-R, your life. It will alter your life. The altar will alter your life. That's what will be life-changing, is an altar. So we are supposed to make altars, but we cannot make them out of hewn stone. And hewn stone simply means that, well, let me get it for you. You cannot carve it or decorate it in any way whatsoever. The altar of stone represents the rock. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our rock. And here's what he said. He takes it a step further, and he says, in any place where I record my name, What does that mean, where I record my name? It's interesting. It's powerful. God is not interested in a fancy altar. It means in the places where I moved on your behalf, where you called on my name and I moved in behalf, that's a recording. You put a rock there. You make an altar there. You remember that. A place of encounter. Genesis 28 says, the Lord met Jacob in a crisis, and the next day he built an altar in that place. And the altar is, let me tell you what altars do. An altar is a place where we go to seek forgiveness. An altar of the Lord is a place where we repent. An altar of the Lord is a place where we go to worship. An altar of the Lord is a place where we make covenants when people come up here to the altar to be married. An altar is a place of intercession. An altar is a place where we bring a sacrifice to. God, this altar here is where I lay my problems down. This is where I say, you know, something that was so, when I was studying this, that just broke me, because, you know, I'm always thinking about Pastor Bill and Pastor Gill and our loved ones that have gone by. An altar is the place where we come to sacrifice, and even to the point of saying goodbye to someone we love. We come to this altar, don't we? This is the place where God has blessed us when we come to the altar. And something I love and is found in Joshua, and I want to read that, and our worship team can come. This is what I love. This was Joshua. He said this, and for me, it means something. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be an everlasting memorial to the people of God forever. And one day I was in this building, and that scripture came to me. And I just went to the back, as you can see all the bricks up here, and it came alive to me. It was like these were almost living stones. And I thought of everything that had happened in this place, and of all the things, and that when my children ask, why do we go to church? Why do we do this? Why do we worship? Why is it every Sunday? Why do you drag me here? I want to tell them, you see those stones? They represent the stone that the builders rejected, the chief cornerstone that holds us up. It's only worship. It's only through Christ that we can make it. It's only because of the rock. And if you don't fall on the rock will fall on you. Let me explain what that means. If you don't fall down, I think of this as we're giving altar calls every Sunday now. If you're unwilling to come, if you're unwilling to take the steps to come here, if you don't fall on the rock and worship, someday the rock will fall on you when judgment day comes. And I can't afford for that to happen. So that's why we continue to gather, we continue to worship, we continue to bow our knee. Because we go through, like Frida said it best today, she said, through rough weeks, rough days, sometimes rough years. But he is faithful. He is faithful in every situation. Just keep asking him, keep worshiping him, and he will see you through.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.